In the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 26, is the story of Amaziah, a 25-year-old young man, when he began to reign in Judah. The Bible says he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. And when his kingdom was established, he killed the servants that had killed his father. And then he gathered together the children of Judah, men of war, and numbered them at 300,000. He also hired 100,000 men of battle from the nation of Israel for 100 talents of silver. And listen to verse 7 of this chapter. The Bible says, there came a man of God to him and said, O king, let not the army of Israel go with you, for the Lord is not with them. If you will go with them, God will make you fall before the enemy. And Amaziah said to the man of God, but what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? And the man of God replied, the Lord is able to give thee much more than these. And the Bible says that Amaziah separated them that had come to him from Israel. He didn't go out to battle with them. I want to pause right here and draw your attention to two things. One of them was, the Bible didn't name the prophet. The Bible simply says, a man of God. That's all it takes. If he is a man of God, and he has a word from God, it doesn't matter what his name is. I know there's people today will only listen to the big name preachers. They only quote those preachers that everybody knows. In those days, there were many well-known prophets. But in this instance, the Bible doesn't even use his name. His name wasn't important. The important part of this was the message. And the message was, don't hook up with that which God is not a part of. Don't hook up with that which is not of God. If God is not in it, if God does not approve of it, don't saddle yourself up with something that God is not in. That's a good warning for all of our cities who think that they can hook up with something that God is not within 100 miles of. Amaziah took this warning. He heeded this warning. I want to use this story of Amaziah as the backdrop for the subject that I want to speak on today, which is gambling. More specifically, gambling right here in Bristol, Virginia. Many of our town councilmen have made some wrong choices. The city is over budget in almost every areas. There's a shortfall. They're spending more than they're taking in. Someone suggested to them that a gambling casino would be the answer to the problem. But friend, a gambling casino in Bristol, Virginia is not the answer to the problem. The first national study of the social impact of gambling examined the harmful effect that gambling has. It examined how it affected the gamblers, their families, and their friends. It also interviewed those that helped those who were trying to quit gambling, talking to people from all walks of life, from different age groups, and different economic backgrounds. A common theme was found among the devastating effects that gambling had on the people's lives. Gamblers reported gambling in secret, isolating themselves from families and friends to feed their addiction. As relationships deteriorated, the gamblers' behavior would only be discovered when they could no longer maintain a double life, such as failing to intercept unpaid bills, which had been a part of trying to maintain normalcy. The availability of technology, such as smartphones, means that it's possible to conceal a secret gambling habit for years before financial and emotional crises reach a breaking point. The social harms that stem from addictive gamblers are not only for the gambler. For example, the wives of gamblers in a study reported how they could sense that there was a problem, but believed that they were struggling with marital issues rather than the fallout from gambling addiction. Parents and children of gamblers reports that they can no longer trust the gambler, that they no longer could leave money unattended, and that the gambler had become someone that they did not recognize or understand. The negative effects of gambling can destroy an entire family. What starts out as fun at the casino or a night out with the boys become a living nightmare. Lies, manipulations, lack of trust, and after it's all over, remorse, with many promises never to do it again until the next time. This is similar to all addictions, but with gambling, it's easy to hide. You can't see the gambling in their eyes or smell it on their breath, so the problem is often only discovered in a crisis. Besides the losing of the money, there are other negative effects for the addict. Mental issues develop, depression, anxiety, low self-esteem, the increased use in alcohol, drugs, and even suicide. Self-care becomes a problem. Not eating right, poor sleep habits, personal hygiene, relationship problems, the feeling of helplessness, insecurity, as if I had to tell you, role reversals, children taking care of parents, parents overprotecting their children, partners performing all the household tasks, lack of sexual and emotional intimacy. There may be so much focus on the gambler that family members may neglect themselves. Friends and co-workers also pay a price. They are manipulated into lending money. There's lying, covering up, making excuses for the gambler's behavior. They suffer verbal as well as physical abuse and even financial problems when their money is not repaid. The casino is not the answer. And the main reason is God is not with the casino. God doesn't want us to hook up with a casino. The man of God told Amaziah, God is not with Israel. My friend, don't let us hook up with the casino, because God is not with that casino.